Hi, this is Stephanie Phillips. Sorry I can't talk right now. I'm really busy getting ready for the holidays. You'll have to catch me on my Now You Know segment next Saturday on Farm and Country. Well, enjoy. Happy New Year.
This is Radio Catskill. We're your community radio station. We're keeping you connected. You know, the COVID-19 pandemic, it puts a spotlight on so many pre-existing problems in our communities, such as food insecurity, mental health, domestic violence. And over the course of this year, it's mostly been making those problems worse. And we've seen reports that domestic violence and child abuse has increased significantly. To talk about this, we're joined now by Kellyanne Cachelarier, Executive Director of Fearless Hudson Valley, which used to be known as Safe Homes of Orange County. Hello, Kellyanne. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. Did you you make it out of the snow okay, wherever you are?
Well, I'm still in the same spot I was this morning, but thankfully, we are good and we have power and all is well here. So thank you.
There you go. Well, knock wood. So as we get started on this topic, you want to just give people an idea of what Fearless is, what you're all about, and what you do?
Absolutely. So we are actually getting ready to go into our 35th anniversary in celebrating and honoring, certainly providing comprehensive services to victims and their children of domestic violence, human trafficking, and other forms of crime victimization. And we provide both non-residential and residential services throughout Orange and Sullivan County. And those services, while many people think of us as a shelter, that's really a small part of our organization. Most of our other services are non-residential, and so that looks like crisis counseling, therapeutic counseling, advocacy for going to court, possibly helping support getting an order of protection, custody, visitation, as well as meeting some basic emergency needs, food, clothing, emergency hygiene items, as well as our communication and education program that speaks and works with our schools and our communities. And we also have a trafficking program. And then many of our advocates are co-located within various systems through government systems that victims may have to navigate. That could be anywhere from law enforcement, Child Protective Services, Department of Social Services, ultimately meeting victims wherever they may need support and help as they're making the most informed decisions on what their next steps may be.
Yeah, we had John Little, who's the head of the Sullivan County Social Services, on a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about their partnership with Fearless as we were asking him about issues of domestic abuse and child abuse. Are cases on the rise? Is this an exacerbated issue because of the pandemic?
Well, I definitely think that it is absolutely, we've seen a significant increase in our connection to services. Our connection to services is up almost 50% from last year's numbers.
Does that mean that you've connected 50% more people to services than you had done the previous year?
To our crisis line, 50% more than we did last year at this time.
Okay.
So we are definitely seeing a significant spike in individuals reaching out in need of support and services. And all of the things that I think we've had to do, which are really critically important around maintaining the overall health and safety of our communities and ultimately this nation and country as we're watching this global health pandemic take place, create additional barriers for victims of domestic violence. Certainly isolation is a very effective tool that abusive partners can use. And ultimately, many of those things that we've had to do, isolate and socially distance, just further prohibit victims from gaining access. And if they're potentially having to shelter in place with their abusive partner, that individual is now there every single moment of the day, really restricting even more the mobility of that victim or the ability for them to safely reach out and contact not only us, but someone in their life that could be a potential resource for them.
And, you know, what you're saying there, writ larger, more broadly, is the same sort of thing we hear from people tackling all sorts of issues, in as much as there's always this this multiplier, this double whammy of the pandemic, that it is making problems worse and it is making it more difficult to address those problems.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a really great article that ultimately referenced the pandemic within a pandemic. And we have had an epidemic of, intimate partner violence in this country. That's not new. There isn't a day going by as you're watching the news that there is not another woman that's been murdered. I haven't turned on the TV every single day, and unfortunately that's happening, and that's happening both in our area here, in your listening area. As you know, we just learned less than 2 weeks ago, another woman was murdered, this time in Sullivan County, at the hands of her intimate partner. And so it's absolutely been an issue. It's been a pandemic all along, and layering in another pandemic is a recipe, especially for victims, for just really dangerous moments and times. And many of the things that they need resources and access to, i.e. courts, all of the things that we've had have slowed down or have had to go into virtual appearances, and those present unique challenges, I think, for many systems, but also unique barriers for victims as well.
Now, how I assume that like you help both women and men, but my assumption would be that in the majority of cases, you know, it's women who need the help more, women who have violence directed against them more often. Is that the case?
We absolutely work with all victims of domestic violence, and we know all too well that domestic and sexual violence absolutely have a disproportionate impact on women and girls, and are rooted in some larger issues when we look at, you know, what domestic violence is, and that ultimately is about power and control, and then the tactics that an abuser uses. And so disproportionately, that definitely impacts women and girls more, and yet have advocated and supported all victims of domestic violence in all cases.
What needs to change this? I mean, like, we're here to talk to you about the services that you provide, and like, we'll do that. We'll give advice to people that might need your services. But pulling back for a moment, looking at the bigger picture of just that reality that you're describing for us, what do you feel is behind that? What do you feel some ways that we as a people, as a society, need to do to change this reality?
Well, I think that this is also speaking volumes to where we did a pivot last year. And as we talked about name changes, wanted something to be more than a shiny coat of paint, but really repositioning ourselves as an organization to balance the direct service, meaning meeting the crisis needs of victims of domestic violence, and really addressing the core root of the issue, because we don't want to be a Band-Aid. We want to create a paradigm shift in this country, and recognizing that this is really, it's ingrained in us. It's systemic. It's culturally, from the moment all of us enter this world, there's lots of messages that we are taught and then reinforced that create a ripe environment, not necessarily for all people to be abusive, so there to be not very clear lines on when we need to step up and say something and do something. And so I think it needs to be a multi-pronged approach. Not one, you know, system will solve this problem. I think that there's absolutely a place for all of the systems around accountability, and us as communities around bystander accountability. I think it's really important that if we see something, that we say something, that this is not a private family matter, that it's so important that we're having conversations on what healthy relationships look like. And we can teach healthy relationships as young as daycare, because ultimately there's age-appropriate conversations on what it means to have healthy boundaries, healthy relationships, what consent looks like. And then we very much have to continue to create an environment that is victim-led, as well as that we believe victims. And so a lot of times that is not the environment that's created when victims have the courage and strength to come forward. And so we really want to each play an individual role on what that looks like. And so it's going to take all of us, and not just the criminal justice system and not just family court, but all of us in our communities to actively play a role. Because even if our homes are safe where we go, you know, our children go to school with kids whose homes aren't safe. And we work alongside people who may go home and their homes aren't safe. And so it's just so important that first we know where the services are and the resources are for those who may be experiencing domestic violence. And that when we see something, that we not only say something, but we hold those who are using those behaviors accountable, both in a formal way through the system, but also in informal community-based ways too. Because I do think that there's a lot of power in peers saying to their peers that that behavior is not okay and not socially acceptable and will not be tolerated. So I think it's going to take all of us. It's kind of a long-winded answer, but there's not one size fits all. It's really important that we actively work to look at multiple solutions, because it didn't happen overnight and it's not going to, you know, stop overnight. We have a lot of work to do.
Right. And just to bring it back to what you were saying at the very beginning, that you referenced your name change. Originally it was Safe Homes of Orange County, and now it's Fearless with an exclamation point. So I get, you know, building off what you're saying, I guess then the idea there is being saying rather than it's almost like the difference between being on defense and being on offense. You know, like it's like a safe home is like a huddled sort of thing, and fearless is like, you know, just stand up and be seen and be fearless.
And, you know, it's such a great point, and I'm so glad that you were able to see that, because ultimately the name doesn't necessarily speak to victims and survivors, and certainly victims and survivors can find some identity in that name should they choose. This really speaks to the rest of the world and the rest of us, because victims and survivors are incredibly fearless every single day. They make really difficult decisions and life-saving decisions, and they're always strategizing around their safety in their homes and their children's safety. The name change was really about the rest of the world, because it is going to take the rest of us to step in and step up and say something and do something. This can't solely rest on the shoulders of victims, and it has for far too long. And the exclamation point is that it's non-negotiable from our standpoint, meaning the change has to happen. Everyone deserves to live a life free from violence and be safe, and all of us have a responsibility in that.
All right, that's great. Well, we've got just about a minute and a half left. So in this time, let's just talk quick about if somebody needs help, if somebody needs your services, how should they get a hold of you, and what do you want them to know?
The most important thing is that we have a 24-hour hotline that's staffed by an advocate, and that hotline is free. It's confidential, as well as a resource that you don't have to identify yourself. Our hotline is 845-562-5340. And we also want the community to see the hotline as a resource for them as well, so that if you or someone you know is being abused, regardless of your role professionally, or maybe you're a neighbor or a loved one or just a friend and is uncertain what they can do or how to be supportive and helpful in this situation, our hotline is a resource to you as well. And so that is, again, 845-562-5340. And one of the things that's come out of the pandemic that certainly has been a positive thing was the ability to expand our resources and go online. And so if you go to our website, fearlesshv, as in Hudson Valley, .org, there's an ability to